From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of June, 2021. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuslow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll be joined by Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible to discuss the heat in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt and what the month of June might look like as we make our way into the summer months, all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. The address is WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today finished at $6.82 3/4, 20 3/4 cents higher. The high there at $6.85 3/4, by the way. December at $5.91 up 25 cents, near its high for the day. And July soybeans at $15.83 3/4, 34 1/2 higher. November new crop at $14.35 1/2 up 32 cents. The bean meal futures, $3.96.20 up 4.60, and the bean oil at $71.34, $2.49 higher. Wheat futures, July soft red up 11 1/2 at $6.87 3/4, and the hard red at $6.36 1/2, and that finished up 12 1/4 for the July contracts. Spring wheat, by the way, in July at $8.10 1/2 up 33 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, nearby contract at $118.7 1/2 up 45 cents. Feeder cattle at $149.92 1/2 for 100 pounds, down $3.02 1/2, and July lean hogs at $120.60. $1.60 higher. Crude oil at $69.65 higher, and the diesel fuel at $2.11 7/10 cents per gallon, a penny and a half higher. The RBOB at $2.20 7/10, just about a half cent higher, and ethanol futures at $2.46 are unchanged on this Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Mike Zuzulo now joins us from GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael. Have you got the heat there yet?
Yes, we are starting to get it, Todd, and it's very welcome. I mean, we have very nice stands of corn here. We needed some heat to drive those roots down and find some nitrogen, and we're starting to find it. So very nice crop starting to grow here. Like I said, very good population numbers, good emergence, and I think USDA's numbers of having bigger corn acres here and at least our part of the state, and in northwestern Missouri, where it's right across the border, I think those are accurate numbers.
That dovetails well into the conversation I had over the noon hour with the University of Illinois Extension Commercial Ag Team. We meet on Fridays generally and talk about what's happening across the state. And I've already had a discussion that we'll hear a bit later in the program with Eric Snodgrass about the weather across the whole of the Corn Belt. But there is a discrepancy between the Corn Belt, and it is both east-west and north-south. He's very concerned, that is Eric Snodgrass, that north of Interstate 80, things don't look as good as maybe they can for the weather, certainly in the farther to the west you go in that part of the world. So the Dakotas, parts of Iowa, Minnesota are dry and may continue to be that way. And we hear that from the commercial ag folks in the northern part of the state of Illinois, above I-80, that the grass is even beginning to go dormant there. However, it looks fantastic here. And if you get into Missouri and into southern Illinois, they're just getting too much rain, which isn't that bad. But it just gives me it gives me a little hesitancy as it's related to the market, Mike, and whether the market's really going to do a weather market, which is what we saw today, but not what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I think your hesitancy is right on the money, because it really smells a lot like 2012, doesn't it? Because we were suffering in the eastern Corn Belt, central Corn Belt at the time, but Iowa and Minnesota and the Dakotas were having, I think, near record yields, if not record yields. And yet this time around, we've got 45% of Iowa corn in drought. And that's USDA's update as of 2 days ago. So what we've got situated now, right now, Todd, is 24% of the Corn Belt, of the primary Corn Belt, as USDA measures it, is in drought, 79% of the spring wheat belt. Those numbers could change very dramatically, very quickly. And so What I think happened on Thursday's trade was the FAO food price index numbers came out, and we saw, along with some unemployment jobs data, the inflation hawks come in. The bond yields perked up, the dollar rose, the inflation guys got nervous and they jumped out of the market. I think the weather overcomes that, though. In other words, in the next 7 to 10 days, if we don't see a really good band of rain come through pretty much the whole Corn Belt, and as you say, north of I-80, I believe that weather will trump this market in terms of the inflation fears and the bond yields going up and the dollar finding support. I think it's key to realize that right now you have almost 80% of the spring wheat belt in a drought situation, and you've got a large percentage of the western Corn Belt, North Dakota, 88%, Michigan, 99%. Northern Corn Belt is in dire shape, and it just feels a lot like June of 2012 when Illinois, Indiana, and western Ohio was suffering so dramatically, but the rest of the country and the Chicago Board of Trade really didn't care about it. I don't think it'll be that way this time around, just because stocks are so tight, and also because we're getting new corn numbers out from private estimates, and IHS Market just came out this afternoon before we went on the air, dropped down 14 million tons below USDA and put in an 88 million ton Brazilian corn crop.
I saw that. That was a big drop. That's the Safrina corn crop size. And it was up at, 108 to begin with, and 102, I think, was the number USDA, clearly was the number USDA was working with in the month of May. Do you think they'll change that in June? And then I have a follow-up question about the drought in the United States.
Well, my friend Todd Gleason told me about a month and a half or two ago that it seemed like that CONAB and USDA seemed to be very closely tied to one another in terms of estimates. So I'm going to go with his recommendation and his assessment and say that if CONAB comes in next week and cuts the crop, USDA will as well.
All right. Well, we'll see if that cat's right or not. That dog might not hunt. I don't know. we'll find out. So here's what I want to know. And farmers will be interested for their new crop sales in particular. Do they stand aside but be ready to make a sale should rainfall come?
Yes, 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 yes. I think this is where May taught us a valuable lesson. I think May and June could be very similar, where the first half of June, we go higher on supply and weather. The second half of June, if we end up getting some rain, but maybe not enough, but some rain, the market goes back to the demand. And we have to realize also, while yield trumps everything, we are going to get some acreage numbers at the end of June. So put buying, I think, is very much warranted, just as it was back in the middle of May. And I think the other thing too, Todd, is we have to remember that and segregate out that had it not been for the soybean oil, which is trying to make another new high and take out last month's high of around 72.30, we would, I don't think, have nearly as strong a bean market as we do right now, because the same IHS market came in with 3 million tons more than USDA today and pegged the soybean crop in Brazil at 139 million tons. We saw the export sales start to really suffer on today's update for soybeans. Meal was very strong, but soybeans are really starting to suffer at this stage. So really segregate out the soybeans versus the corn. Doesn't mean oversell your cash bushels, because I am worried about the soybean yield overall at this stage of the crop year, but get the hedges and the floors in place.
What else are we watching?
Well, I think that inflation thing is going to be a big deal, and the bond yields, and that's what I'm going to write about this weekend in the copy, is really trying to talk about the food price inflation. We've got the highest food price inflation, as FAO measures it, since February 2011, so it feels a lot like 2011 going into 2012 when it comes to what the world is feeling on food prices. And we really got to be wary of interest rates going up around the world, because I don't think the commodity bulls will stick around very long. So this second half of the calendar year is going to be as tricky as I thought it would be maybe 5 months ago.
Without drought, what does the end of June look like, acreage and grain stocks figures?
Yeah, I mean, I still think we are doing a 1.3 to 1.5 carryover in the corn without a drought. And so that means we can go back below $5 in new crop corn as we, I don't know if it'll happen in the end of June, but I think by the time we get the crop on the combines and in the hoppers, we can still take these futures down to around 475, 480 would be my target price.
And grain stocks?
Grain stocks, I don't know if I have a good feel for grain stocks right now, Todd, because we've been shipping out these exports so much. I think that could be, in corn, one of the more bullish numbers because the ethanol, the exports, and the livestock feeding. And I just wonder if USDA's old crop supplies and the production number and that yield number from last year isn't still too high. I talked about that with some clients earlier this week. So grain stocks, I'm going to leave alone. I'll take it at face value if it doesn't look too out of whack.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That is Mike Zuzlow. He's with GlobalComResearch.com. You know, May has come and gone, but that doesn't mean the issue of mental health is done for another year. The farming community used May, which is National Mental Health Awareness Month, to highlight the growing challenges of mental health. Did you know, for instance, as Josie Rodolfi told us from University of Illinois Extension, that the frequency of anxiety and depression is higher among the agricultural community than for the non-farming community?
Depending on the study, the prevalence of depression has ranged from 6 to 50% among agricultural producers, whereas in the general population, we see the prevalence of depression at about 7%. And we talk about anxiety, we see very similar statistics.
Now, Rodolfi says there are many factors that are impacting today's farmers, from personal finances, global economic issues like trade, time pressures, and not to mention the interpersonal relationships on and off the farm. She adds that as friends and family, it's important to watch for changes in behavior.
And if we notice someone's not sleeping like they usually do, and they're not eating like they usually do, or they become easily irritated, and typically they're much more patient, or they just kind of constantly seem to be upset, that's a really great time to ask a couple of questions. And we can do that out of concern. And some people might say, well, is it my business? And I would say, if this is your friend or your family member, if this is somebody you care about, it is absolutely your business.
And Rodolfi adds that it's vital for the farming community to remove the stigma of mental health and asking for help. She added a recent study shows as many as 31% of rural adults have personally sought help for a mental health condition, and 24% have a family member who sought care for a mental health condition. On this Friday, let's check the agricultural weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrient Ag Solutions. Eric, thank you for being with us today. Gorgeous day in our part of the world, but I'm afraid there's a lot of heat that's been building into the Northwest, and it'll probably spill out here eventually.
Yeah, that ridge that's building in is pretty sizable. And think about what it's replacing, right? I mean, last weekend, we were talking about frost, and here we are. Some places going to have temperatures that are up to 70 degrees warmer than they were a week ago. And so the temperatures really climb, and we're going to go into that midsummer type heat. Now, the crops that's got good moisture under the soil are going to just eat this up and grow very, very quickly. And that's going to be a big benefit. But I'm getting really concerned about how this heat's coming in, especially in the northern plains, where we're talking triple digit heat in the Dakotas, Minnesota. Wow, get this, Texas is going to be struggling to get out of the 70s. They're stuck under a deep upper level low, cloud cover, and a whole lot more rain. So it's interesting to see the temperature pattern almost flipped north-south here across the United States. But the only thing that's going to be unpleasant with this heat coming in is that the Gulf of Mexico is going to be tapped in a big way, and we're going to bring a lot of moisture to the north, and it's going to get hot, and it's going to get humid, and it's going to feel like we just dove straight into summer after seeing, to be honest, relatively widespread frost at the very end of May. So that's, I guess, how it goes now, right? We kind of skip seasons, just go straight from one extreme to the other.
So tell me about your worries as it relates to the Northwest Corn Belt, and how big of a geographic area in that portion of the nation might we be discussing?
Yeah, so let's kind of paint it first with some interstates. Get north of Interstate 80 in both Illinois and Iowa, and we've got problems there that even though there's been some rain that came through, what it did was just put a little bit of moisture in the topsoil, but go down about 16 inches and we're dry. And that's a big difference from last year, start of their growing season in 2020, to this year. We had a decently full profile, and this year I've got drought issues not only there, but across Iowa. It's also across the eastern Corn Belt, and then it gets up into parts, of course, in the Dakotas, where we've been talking for months about the record drought that's going on there. So some of the recent rains, yep, came through and moistened up the topsoil, but you get down there below it, and we've got some problems. And what that means is if we go over hot at all, and dry, it'll be much quicker to get into drought than otherwise. So I'm quite concerned. And like you said, the new spring forecast data kind of were just released, and we saw a pretty sizable drying trend between now and about mid-July in the midsection of the country. And that's consistent with our messaging, you and I, you know, for the last several months, that those cold ocean temperatures off the Pacific, they certainly have an impact, you know, as we move into our summertime period here, at possibly throwing down a ridge in the mid part of the country. So I don't like that I have to say that, but it's got me a little bit more, you know, in that concerned area than I had been before this.
Well, it's a big area because you're talking about Interstate 80, the bulk of the Iowa corn crop. Is grown above there, Nebraska, South Dakota, Minnesota, North Dakota, all there, Wisconsin.
Yep.
And I suppose if you stretch that across, part of Indiana and Michigan too. So it's just, and there's a lot of the Corn Belt that could be under a problematic summer, I suppose. What part of that has enough moisture to last for a while?
Well, we're in kind of one of those spots. We've lately had decent moisture come back, and it's even been wetter farther to south. Talked to a guy this morning down in southern Illinois, and he's like, well, you know, everything's good. It's coming up fast. The stuff I replanted is good. He goes, but I got water standing in the bottom areas. And then you go south of there over to Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, parts of Kansas, Texas, they're waterlogged. And so it's this, you know, this dipole, if you will. North is dry, south is super wet. And, you know, these new long range forecasts just kind of confirm some fears. And it's another situation where I'm going to tell you, I hope I'm wrong. I hope with the moisture coming out of the Gulf, we do get stormy. And with the storms, we deliver rain. That can still happen. So this doesn't mean we're in kind of dire straits here, but it's a situation where you don't get that rain and that heat comes in. Well, North Dakota over the next 7 days is going to have over 2.5 inches of evaporation out of the topsoil. That's how hot it's going to get up there.
It is going to be hot, big time hot in that part of the world. Places that are already in dire straits and have been for some time include Brazil, parts of Argentina, maybe southern parts of Brazil, and then into Uruguay as well. What's happening in South America?
So it's going to rain in southern Brazil, but it's the equivalent, I think, of it raining, you know, on our crops in October, right? So this isn't like the rain that's going to save everything and really revive the crop. It's too late. They spent too much of the end of February, March, and April, and even the beginning of May too dry in southern Brazil. Now, the monsoonal circulation has slowed down and almost stopped, which it normally does. So that late planted safrinha crop north, so Mato Grosso, Goiás, Tocantins, those areas, it's, you know, we're running out of moisture. So it's interesting. The week two precip forecast for northern Brazil's growing areas is forecast to be wet. They're expecting to get 0.2 inches of rain. So that's where we are. It's the dry season now. So to be wet is to get a sprinkling of rain.
Anything around the planet we should discuss? Maybe start with China?
Yeah, so in China, they had a drier start to the season. We could see it on some of the drought monitors we use across the world. The forecast coming up, though, is a bit more favorable. So those drier regions in the North China Plain, the Manchurian Plain, the European model is trying to put down near normal to, in some locations, a little bit wetter than normal conditions. And so overall, for those folks, that would seem to be a favorable spring, you know, near spring outlook in those growing parts of China.
In Ukraine?
Well, Ukraine probably had the best spring out of all these growing areas. They had decent moisture. It even extended into the Russian wheat belt. So we look back over the last 30 days and we see wetter than normal conditions. And the forecast going forward, they're a little cool right now. There's no red flags popping up over in Ukraine at this point. So I think that's what's going to be really critical, is looking at that global balance sheet, what Ukraine's going to produce, what China's going to consume, and what the United States' potential summer drought situation is going to look like. And so I'm expecting for the next 4 to 6 weeks for us to really be in a weather market. I think it's that time of year. So our conversations are going to be important these next few weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions. Joined us on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Merrill Crowley of First Choice Commodities. He's out of Watseka, Illinois. Ellen Dearden is here from AgriView in Morton, Illinois. And we're joined by Dale Durkles at Grain Cycles in Bloomington, Illinois as well. Our special guest for the day is Randy Martinson. He's with Martinson Ag Risk Management out of Fargo, North Dakota. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to our programming anytime you'd like on the web at willag.org, willag.org, or search us out in your favorite podcast applications. Randy Martinson, thank you for joining us from Fargo. You've been on the show a couple of times. I know that you deal with producers, certainly in your part of the world there in the Red River Valley. It's been a tough year to begin with there. I'm wondering how the planting season has gone and what conditions are like today and the expectations going into the heat over the weekend.
Well, it has been kind of a wild year so far. We thought 2020 was going to be a wild one, but so far 21 has kind of just picked up where that left off. You know, our planting season started fairly decent. It looked like we were going to get in the field and get some early planting done. A lot of spring we put in the ground in March and early April. Then we had a little bit of a break come in there with cold temperatures and a little bit of snow, so we got put back. And then by May, we got going again. Of course, no rain kind of helped a lot of producers to get into the fields and get quite a bit done, not looking at any kind of a prevent plant issue this year like we did last year. But now all of a sudden, of course, you know, we've seen some pretty dry areas. We picked up some spotty rains in different regions down in the southwest corner and in central part of the state. But now all of a sudden we're turning hot and dry, and we're looking at temperatures ranging starting today in the upper 90s. We're going to be in the hundreds the next couple of days, and then next week pretty much back into the 90s, mid-90s, with very few chances of rain coming into play. And right now that is really going to start hurting, especially the spring wheat crop. We had, and just like North Dakota, you can expect anything. We had frost last Thursday. Now all of a sudden we're having 100-degree temperatures.
When you and I talked, and it was very brief as we were setting this up, you mentioned that there may be some replant of soybeans. Was that due to frost or emergence, both? What were the problems that were related to this issue?
You know, it's kind of both. I mean, we had some really strong winds that actually blew some of the soybeans right out of the field. I mean, it uncovered the dirt and blew the soybeans out of the row. And, you know, of course, right after that, then we had the frost. And the frost was the biggest issue that we were looking at. So, yeah, last Thursday night, Friday morning's frost got quite a few acres, especially in the center to the eastern part of North Dakota. A lot of replant going on. And we're doing this now at a time frame when, you know, there's very little moisture out left in the fields, and when we're looking at this heat coming into play. So, you know, we're kind of getting that that replant is not starting off in a good shape.
We'll hear more from Randy Martinson in just a moment here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.